Walking in the flesh keeps us separated from God. Walking in the Spirit keeps us connected with God and away from sin. Let's begin with this from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
So there's two ways to walk. One is in the flesh, and the flesh is obviously your body, but it's that fleshly nature that motivates you by sin to do things that are sinful. So he's telling us you can walk on a broad road. It leads to destruction, but there are many people that go on that road, and they're in the flesh. They're enjoying the things and the pleasures of this world. Or you can go on a narrow path through a straight gate that leads to eternal life, and there are a few people that go on that path, and that is the path of life. So you choose this day.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord.
This is Chapter and Verse with Pastor and Teacher Mike McIntosh, where we're resuming a study of the book of Romans. Free from the law, sin, and death in Christ is the title of this two-day lesson. In the book of 1 John, we're told, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." With Jesus Christ living in our hearts, we no longer are under the condemnation of God, but rather will receive his gift of mercy and salvation. Romans chapter 8 will be our text for this lesson, so now let's open our Bibles and listen to Pastor Mike McIntosh as he begins our time of teaching from the pulpit of Horizon Christian Fellowship in prayer.
Father, we thank you this day that we can hear and see and breathe and sense your presence in our life, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue using Romans chapter 8 to develop in us deep spiritual principles. And we pray that as your word speaks to us, that you would take the honor and the glory for all the work that's already done, that most people don't know what you've given them. So as we look at these riches, we pray that you'll help us mine them and pull them out of the mother lode and put them into our hearts, that we'll live as new creatures in Christ, not as the old people. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. You may be seated, and as you're being seated, turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, please. As you know, we were heavily involved in 9/11, Ground Zero. And a year later, we took 1,500 people from all around the country. And instead of having one festival of life, which we usually do in a city, we had five, and one in all five of the boroughs of New York City. And we had one every day for 5 days in all five. It was a great administrative task, but man, it was super. And the doors that opened up were just unbelievable. One of them was Rikers Prison, I'm sure you've all heard about. And it's one of the biggest prisons in the country, if not the largest. There's, I think, 10 different prisons make up Rikers on Rikers Island. And these are pretty gnarly people that are there. So we had heard that there was a lady in Brooklyn, in Harlem, that made soul food, and people just knew her by name. She was like in her 70s or 80s and still cooking. And we hired her, and we wanted to bless all of the guards and the commissioner from New York State, and we invited them for dinner. About 5 out of 200 showed up, and some of them with their gold stars and their brass, and they're apologizing, but they couldn't get anybody involved. And then they started smelling the food, and they said, what do you have for us? And we said, well, Mother, whatever her name was. And they said, you're kidding me, from Harlem? Yeah, right here, barbecued. Oh, okay. Within an hour, there were about 55 to 105 sitting down in uniform eating. And I was going to speak, and we were told, we did a lot of recon ahead, we were told that the guards loved playing basketball, and they had some of the best inner varsity teams playing other prisons in New York. So we also had a really good team that year. We went to state. So I asked them if they would mind playing our high school team. We're just a bunch of kids. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. We'll do that. So we brought them referee uniforms. We brought them basketballs. We gave them an electronic scoreboard clock. And I knew that we had them before I got up to speak when I saw this one man that was good 300 pounds, and he was licking his fingers, and he's getting the rib sauce off, and he had two plates he hadn't even taken on yet, and I knew we had it. So we spoke to him. We gave him all these things. We challenged him to a basketball game. And then they had set up outside some motocross guys and bikes and flips and karate demonstrations, and it was a very unique time. So Santos was going to sing, and then I would speak. But this crowd was not paying attention what was going on. They were mean, they were disorderly, and there were law enforcement officers in black uniforms on top of the hill behind the prison, and with police dogs, and they would have, anything would have happened, they would have just taken everybody out, except for us. I hope. So Santos gets up and he sings, and they're just being kind of gnarly and yelling things and not being very respectful. And he said, "That's my last song. My friend Mike's going to come and speak." And he says, "You know what? You're all being very rude, and you should listen. And you all think you're wise guys. Well, if you're so wise, how come you're in here?" And then it went just like that. I can tell by that reaction we have some ex-prisoners here. So they listened, and we had many, many people accept the Lord that day. And went back and back and back, and our team flew back there and played them and beat them like 98-4 or something. I don't know what it was. But Lord, we want to thank you that in verse 1 you said, "There is there now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." We look at that verse, and that is so amazing. That now there is no condemnation. So I pray that as we keep building on that, there is no condemnation to those who are in your Son Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That if there's anybody under guilt and condemnation, especially if it's self-guilt and self-condemnation, they would just grasp the fact that the crucifixion took all condemnation and put it on Jesus. So I'd ask that you would release people that have been Christians for many years but have never known this truth. They've never been free. They condemn themselves over the littlest things. And though it might be right, they just don't understand that they don't have to put up with it. That it's only the devil messing with them. So Lord, be glorified in this text that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. The law of the Spirit, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life. So he's going to bring a law. First, he says you have to change your thinking in verse 1. There is no condemnation, no matter what it is. Condemnation went upon Jesus on the cross. God's wrath went upon Jesus on the cross. He absorbed death. He absorbed all the sin, past, present, and future. So he tells us there's another law in town. And for the law of the Spirit of life, and that is one, before we turn our lives over to God and surrender to him, we don't know that law is there. That there is a law concerning the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. It has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, it doesn't say that he's attained sinless perfection, but this law that has made him free through Jesus has made him free from the other law, and that law was sin and death. Sin brings death. The Bible says that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all guilty. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he was born in Bethlehem. He was a baby. He grew up. He was in the likeness of sinful flesh so that you could identify with him. On account of his sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's two ways to walk. One is in the flesh, and the flesh is obviously your body, but is that fleshly nature that motivates you by sin to do things that are sinful. So he's telling us you can walk on a broad road that leads to destruction, but there are many people that go on that road, and they're in the flesh. They're enjoying the things and the pleasures of this world. Or you can go on a narrow path through a straight gate that leads to eternal life, and there are a few people that go on that path, and that is the path of life. So you choose this day. For those who live according to the flesh, I'd like you to underline this. The people that do, this is how you know who you are. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, it's almost like anchored. They have to get the latest clothing magazines, the latest movie star magazines. Everything about them is about this world. Their religion is about self, but they guise it in and cloak it in some way that looks like they're a spiritual person, but they're not. They set their minds. So that means the hour I became a Christian, if I would have been mature enough to know this, I could have set my mind on things other than the world. But what happens when you turn your life to Jesus is that he now is going to help you. The big part, in a sense, is over. The fact that he died for you and you've received him, you are going to heaven. But now you're going to live every day. And many people, for the first couple of years, live exactly like they did before they became a Christian. But all along, they're having some guilt-filled feelings about what they're doing. And then they come to Romans 8 and they realize, well, hold it, there's no condemnation, but I feel so guilty. But that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then you find the more that you love God, the more of you disappears and the more that he comes into your life. And then you get to a place of a further maturity that by dedicating yourself to the Word of God and letting it speak to you, you now begin seeing differently. And you can see people differently. You can see situations differently. But people who are carnal, and carnality and flesh are interwoven through Paul's teachings in Romans. But the carnal mind, the worldly person, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now I realize it's like setting the air conditioning or the temperature in my car. I get a choice. I can set my mind on everything in this world or some of this world and I'll be fleshly. Or I can say I'm sold out. I'm going to do my best to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I choose as a human being to set my things on heavenly things. I want to think about God when I wake up. I think about God all day long. I'm talking to him, pray unceasingly, the Bible says. And a great lesson I learned many years ago is sitting in a hotel room with Billy Graham, and I wanted to know about his prayer life. And so that was one of my questions I had for him. And he said, well, while we've been sitting here, I've been praying for you. I said, you're praying for me? He said, yes, I've been praying for you. Lord, what can I do to help this young man further his ministry for your glory? And that taught me a whole new way to pray. Is that when I'm standing there listening to somebody tell me their problems, I'm praying for the answer. I'm praying for them. And I set my mind on those things. But the minute I get distracted and I set my mind on what is the latest scores, and though I love sports, and what is the latest movie that everybody's saying you got to go see, and you will find that people set their minds to the left or to the right, to the flesh or to the spirit. They're walking on a broad road because they set their mind on the things of this world, and they look like they're okay because everybody else is on that same road, but it leads to destruction. And then you'll see people that seem to be a little bit more disciplined. They seem caring for other people more, and they just are people that you know they have no agenda. They just love people and they love God. And you notice that they're in a smaller group on a narrower path that looks like, you know, not just a broad, easy way, but a rough way. And it's a steep climb. And you start seeing that you have to make a choice now. Are you going to be a godly woman? Or are you going to be a quote-unquote Christian woman that hides behind the cloak of a cross of a necklace or some crosses hanging down from your ears? Or You can be a godly man, or you're going to be a fleshly man, and maybe not even hiding behind Christianity. You'd be shocked at the number of people that are in this crowd right now who are living dual lives. They think it's okay to be a Christian and hop around from bed to bed with other people. Well, it's not in God's eyes. You know, that's the one sin. That extramarital sex relationship is the one sin that really causes trouble for people. In fact, in one day, children of Israel were in the wilderness and God struck 23,000 of them dead on the spot for committing that sin. To let the rest of the country know, this is not acceptable in heaven. And that is one of the things you do when you set your mind on heaven. You live, quote unquote, play the game as heaven lives. You can't be setting your mind on the world and saying, well, at the last minute, I know I'm going to heaven. I'd be very frightened if that was my style. In fact, in the New Testament, when that sin came up, the Apostle Paul said, when you fornicate, you commit sex out of sin, know you not that you are joining your body, he told the men, of your body of a prostitute to Christ who lives in you? And he really reproved them for that. Now, when you go to Galatians chapter 5 and you get to verse 19, it tells us that the works, plural, of the flesh are made manifest, which are these: sexual escapades outside of marriage is a work of the flesh. In fact, you can memorize verse 19 and you can see all the manifest fruit that comes from the flesh, and you can tick your life off there. Or you can say, well, I used to do that one. I don't do that anymore. It's not as if there's seven deadly sins. One sin is enough to take you down for eternity. So God is a righteous God, and he wants his people to be a righteous people. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. He doesn't want them to be a cultural Christianity. He wants them to be a crucified Christianity that picks up their cross daily and follows after the Lord Jesus. So those that set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded. Okay, if you're a spiritual person, you can be a spirit born again, but still be carnal. One of my big things was I drank too much, but the Lord just took it. I didn't ask him to take it. I just lost the taste of it. I want nothing in my life that would be displeasing to him. And when I drank, I was like my father. I couldn't just have one drink. I had to have more. And you don't make good decisions in the influence of alcohol. And so I want to make good decisions. So I want my heart, my mind clear, not fuzzy. I want my heart to be pure, that God can create in this place with this one weak vessel, that he can create something that could help other people. So to be carnally minded, to be a Christian, and to live carnally, worldly, fleshly, that's death. It's got to be the worst place for a person to be. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for their sins and was raised from the dead. They'll say, I agree. I believe that 100%. But they can't quit gambling. They can't quit lying. The works of the flesh. Galatians 5. So they go on and they live a carnal life. One that is more leaning to the diet of the flesh. And you can never satisfy your flesh, ladies and gentlemen. This flesh is so strong, it can deceive you, it can trick you, it can lie to you, it can manipulate you. And the old saying people come to counseling about is, just one more time, and I'll never do it again. I'll stop after this last cigarette. I'll lose that 30 pounds again for the 10th time. You know, it's like that, New Year's resolutions. But your flesh doesn't want to give up. So it's easier for you to lie to yourself and say, well, I really love God, but I love sex with my boyfriend or my girlfriend more than I love God. You say, oh, no, that's not true. I don't love him more than God. Well, you must, because he's got so much power in your life. He's having you live a lifestyle that is carnality. You see, the whole thing about the Bible is that when it comes alive to you, you start hearing God and you know he's there. There's no doubt in your mind that God is alive and doing quite well and that his son is living inside of you by his spirit. There's no doubt about that. And the joy is when you start hearing him. I remember as a very young Christian, I went to the church and said, oh, can I do anything to help you? What can I do? Greg Laurie, the same thing. He was 17 years old. What can I do? I just want to help people. And Chuck Smith would say, well, go talk to that girl over there, Mike. I've got a bunch of people waiting to talk to me, and she's on LSD. Greg, why don't you go over here and help that person? And so Greg would go over there, and all of us, there are so many hundreds of us, that we were so radically changed that we just helped and served and volunteered. But our mind was set on spiritual things. I remember Greg Laurie was like 17 or 18, and I took him to a counseling appointment at a mental hospital. And this man called Chuck's secretary and said he was a singing prophet. And he had some prophecy songs he needed to sing. And she said, well, I'm sorry, but Pastor Chuck's really kind of busy, but I'll send over one of the intern pastors. So I said, Greg, you want to go with me? We go over. This time Greg's got a great big beard and hair down to past his shoulder blades, you know. And he looked like a picture of Jesus, you know, with a lamb on his shoulder. So we get over to the place, and he said, where is it? Well, it's a mental hospital. So the guy starts to play, and he can't play, can't even play a chord. And he's singing at the top of his voice, was really screaming. I would say he is more carnal than he was spiritual. And, but, you know, whatever is in the room, he's smoking a cigarette, and he started banging on his guitar. The cigarette spoke to me. Yeah, oh, yeah, the cigarette spoke to me. Greg's got a long beard. Whatever it was, he just sang about that. So I said, this isn't really a spiritual gift you have. Let's go out into the rec room. Well, here are about 10 people in the rec room. And this man walks up to Greg. And Greg says, excuse me, I'm going to go out in the balcony here and I'm going to talk to this guy. So I found a record with Love Song, the group, and I played it. I said, now I know these guys, and they were really bad people in Orange County, but now they love Jesus and they're on a very narrow path. Listen to the music. Just listen to the lyrics. Oh, he got it. I said, that's your problem. See, you know there's something spiritual going on, but you're carnal. You're in the flesh. Well, how do I become spiritual? So I explained that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him would never perish but have everlasting life. He said, well, I want that. So we bowed our heads, we prayed together, and he accepted Jesus. He had a great big smile on his face, and from the balcony comes Greg with this other guy, and he says, Mike, I just led this guy to the Lord. I said, that's fantastic. I just led him to the Lord. And he said, but this guy's got a problem. And I said, what's the problem? And so the guy told me, he's about 25 years old. He said, well, first of all, I accepted Jesus. I guess I'm a Christian, but I'm Jewish and all my family's Jewish. My parents are going to be really mad. Secondly, I got busted for drugs and my parents don't know it yet. They're going to be really mad. And thirdly, the court put me into this rehab, whatever it is thing. My folks don't know it, but they're going to be really mad. I think more about the Jesus thing than anything else. So I'm glad I accepted him because the other two things aren't going to mean anything. So we're leaving the room. Six or eight people were just sitting, you know, medicated and staring. So as we're going out the door, I said, Greg, why don't we tell these people? You take them and I'll take. So he stood here and he told those four and I told these four. And they all bowed their heads. They all prayed with us. So as we opened the door, there was just one thing that we didn't do. There was a big pool table right in the middle of the room. And there was a guy, I'm 6 feet, so he was 6'2". And he was a lot broader than I am. And he had the pool cue stick in his hand like this. I thought he was going to, you know, hit us or something. I said, we better go talk to that guy. We didn't talk to him.
Next time, we'll continue this look at our freedom from the law, sin, and death through our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's coming up on our next edition of Chapter and Verse. If you'd like to keep up to date with the international outreach of Horizon Christian Fellowship, look under the Ministries link, then go to Missions on the website at hcf.org. This is where you'll find information about Horizon Missions and churches around the world. If you'd like to keep in touch with a missionary family in the field, this is a site where you'll find contact information and news about developments around the world. Every Christian should be interested in the progress being made in spreading the gospel, and the Horizon website is one of the places where you can be a part of the missions effort taking place in our day. Again, look under the ministry section and click on the missions link on the web at hcf.org. Next time on CNV, we'll continue our study in Romans when we'll hear part two of the message, Free from the Law, Sin, and Death in Christ. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.